You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome into another edition of Central Indiana Today here on 98.9 WYRZ. I'm Rob Kendall. Thanks for joining us. And we continue our conversation all about the political Hoosier, the Hoosier political scene this week. Dominoes moving left and right. And we'll continue to talk about Governor Mike Pence, about the fallout of that, and a whole bunch more. And of course, we had our friend Scott Strong on for Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday, I try to bring people on that will be objective, and so I found a guy who really doesn't like anyone, so he's objectively negative.
Most of all, myself.
Yes, our good friend Chris Spangle from the We Are Libertarians radio network. Chris, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. Did you ever think we would live in a world where Donald Trump would be the Republican nominee for president and he would choose Mike Pence?
And that Evan Bayh would, you know, Evan Bayh and Mike Pence would both negate any semblance of fairness in the primary system. No, this has been quite a week, this last couple weeks. And Donald Trump choosing Mike Pence, if he chose Mike Pence, I don't think he knows if he chose Mike Pence or not. He seemed to have flip-flopped on that, Flop and Rob. And I guess I'm surprised.
So here was my, by the way, I went on Fox 59 on Sunday and I was very kind to the libertarians about how well you run your private primary process.
Thank you very much.
My losers for the week on the winners and losers segment was the taxpayers, because sure, it is ridiculous that we fund 1.4 million or almost 1.4 million votes between Barron Hill and Mike Pence that don't count.
Yeah. And when you factor in the fact that Todd Young was placed on the ballot pretty much illegally. I mean, his votes did not, he should not be on the ballot.
Right.
So you can go ahead and add in cheating Todd Young's vote totals if you'd like to.
So you guys with the We Are Libertarians, you guys are libertarians, but the libertarians don't like you guys. I'm just trying to let our audience know who you guys are. The Libertarian Party of Indiana, they believe you guys are overly critical even of them, right?
No, they don't like memes. So we like memes, and we believe that memes are an acceptable form of communication in the 21st century. And, you know, we talk about everything. We talk about Republicans, Democrats, and party loyalists a lot of times don't like commentators. Would you know anything about that, Rob?
No, absolutely not. I'm very well thought of inside the Republican Party circles. My point is, though, you guys take a comedic approach to, sure, politics. You laugh at everything.
Right.
Of course, for those who don't know, your day job is you're a big timer over at Bob and Tom.
I'm a very big deal.
Yes.
Very big deal, mostly in weight.
That's why we have you on. Okay, so why did he pick Mike Pence?
That's a good question. You look at it and you go, is the Republican Party bench really so shallow that it's between Newt Gingrich and Mike Pence?
You don't like Gingrich.
It's not that I don't like Gingrich. I think that Gingrich is a legitimate intellectual powerhouse. I think he has a tremendous amount of baggage that mirrors Trump's, quite honestly. But I think he's everything that Trump is not. I think Gingrich is somebody who is intellectual and has put a lot of thought into his positions. He's a bridge builder in certain ways. You know, he's working with Van Jones on various projects like justice reform, whereas Donald Trump is the opposite of all that. He's anti-intellectual. He's not a bridge builder, except when he's donating to Hillary Clinton. And Mike Pence is the opposite of Gingrich, where Mike Pence is someone who is just swimming in naked political ambition and has his entire political career. He is somebody who is, he picks people more on loyalty than he does on their skills. You know, you look at the people that Mitch Daniels picked versus the people that Mike Pence picked to surround himself with. I'm not saying any, you know, I like and personally know a lot of the guys that work around Mike Pence, and they're great guys, but I think they're picked more for their loyalty to Mike Pence and his political ambitions than, like, Mitch picked for Commerce Secretary, Democrat in, what's his face? He owned MyStar Communication. Mickey Maurer. Yeah, Mickey
was my former boss.
Right, Mickey what's his face Maurer, and only one of the most powerful men in the state, and I called him what's his face. Sorry, sir. And he was a Democrat, and he picked him for Commerce Secretary.
Used to sign your checks, didn't he? You worked for the guys that own it now, right?
Yeah, he Intercom.
He once signed my checks.
Yes, he made a killing on that.
He got out at the right time.
Oh, the best time, and You know, Mitch Daniels, when he started hiring people, said, I'm going to hire the best people for the state, and I don't care where they come from. We're going to come from the private secretary or private sector. We're going to hire Democrats, independents. He placed libertarians on boards, people like Mark Rutherford is the head of the Indiana Public Defenders Commission, because Mitch Daniels picked a libertarian to run the public defenders. You know, libertarians care deeply about justice reform and making sure that people are well represented.
Speaking of justice reform, no one cares more about justice reform than me, apparently,
because
I'm moderating some sort of forum.
You are on the 28th.
On the 28th. What am I moderating? What am I doing?
America's Future Foundation, AFFND. Look it up on Facebook. And it's about, we have someone from FreedomWorks coming in. We've got a local activist here in town, Richard Samuels, and I think Jim Merritt is going to be on the panel as well.
That's what sold me.
Yeah, we're talking about justice reform here in Indiana and abroad, and I think that's an incredibly important discussion to have in light of, you know, the deaths in Baton Rouge and Minnesota, now the cop killings on Sunday in Baton Rouge and Dallas.
So where will I be and when? I've agreed to do this, but I don't have it in my calendar
yet. It's Liberty Street on the 28th.
Okay.
Thursday the 28th, and I'm
public
sure,
event,
right? And Rob will tweet out and post on Facebook his appearance. Yeah. So
what a great job I've done,
right?
I do my homework beforehand. I usually wait till the day of to do
right,
my homework.
Yeah, well, that's radio, man.
Yeah.
So I think Mike Pence is someone that has he is certainly not when. I helped run Rupert's campaign along with Evan McMahon and a few others, and we ran against Mike Pence.
Ran against me.
Yeah, you were working for the Mike Pence crew at the time. And
people forget that. People in Pence world forget what a great worker I was.
But see, here's the problem, Rob. People in politics have a terrible memory, and that's why people like Abdul, yourself, myself, people with long memories, remind people of their hypocrisy, and that's why our parties don't like us. What I saw was a man who is a genuinely, and I get a lot of flack for saying this. I think Mike Pence is a genuinely decent person. I think he is a person that believes everything he says, and you may think he's not a decent person because of his beliefs, and that's your right. But I think that he is, at the end of the day, you know, he is not a person who, I think he has learned from his political mistakes and his private mistakes. And I think that he tries to live a decent life and was always very decent and nice to the Rupert campaign, you know, whereas the John Gregg campaign was not.
Were they mean to you guys?
There were not from the Gregg campaign, but there were death threats post-election that we stole.
They believed that you guys stole
votes from the Democrats.
Okay,
yes.
Interesting. Because you did very well.
We doubled the percentage. We got 4%, which was a doubling from 2 years previously, and I expect Rex Bell to probably continue that tradition. But, you know, the Pence crew was always very decent to us, but what I saw was a man who was very, he was lacking in substance. You know, the press, like Brian Howie, Abdul, others would ask very specific policy points of what he would do as governor. You know, and I had observed Mitch Daniels over the previous 8 years answer those questions and feed the press and manage the press and give philosophical points and manage the bureaucracy. And then you saw in a candidate in Mike Pence, someone who relied on platitudes, talking points, and you just thought, wow, this guy's an empty suit. This guy really doesn't have the executive experience to run the state of Indiana. And I think when you look at his track record as governor of Indiana, you don't see accomplishments. You see he will be best remembered, the Pence era as governor will be best remembered for his mess-ups. You know, RFRA, trying to create the press outlet. Now, like, creating the state press outlet, that was a legitimate idea, okay? That was upgrading the release of press releases from state agencies in a more modern way, you know, in a way that was easily accessible for people. But he and his press team couldn't manage that to make it seem like it came out like Pravda.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that, because Scott Strong and I talked about this the other day on the show. I said, to me, it was floored that apparently, if you believe the rumors, Trump becomes irate because it leaks out that he's picked Pence,
right,
changes his mind then based on that. And it's like, hello,
right,
they couldn't even keep it. The leak came from his own people on the Just In thing.
Yeah,
that's who these people are.
Right.
The Pence people could never keep secrets.
Compare that to the buy switch. The Hill buy switch only was leaked because apparently Barron Hill staffers were upset, but they still did it the day before it happened.
Right.
You know, so you compare those two removals of ballot and switching and everything, and it's apparent that one team is disciplined and one is not. Now, I will say that Pence was very disciplined in 2012.
Because he had me.
Right. Well, you were the key.
We did very well in Hendricks County.
Mike Pence is a very disciplined person. I can't speak for, you know, whomever leaked and the things that have happened in the communications world of Pence.
Well, you touched on it. You touched on it though, Chris.
He's very disciplined.
You have loyalists around somebody versus a lot of times the most professional, best people to run the show.
Right. I think you made... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Again, our guest is Chris Spangle from the We Are Libertarians Radio Network. We're talking a little bit about the selection of Mike Pence, and we'll go into what that means for the state of Indiana in just a little bit as well. I would like to point out for the record that when I was given the opportunity to interview Donald Trump, it was kept a secret until after it happened.
Yes, and you did a great job lathering Donald Trump like no other interviewer ever.
My point is, though, if I can keep it a secret, how can the governor of the state of Indiana not keep it a secret?
Yeah, I don't know. When you compare successful executive branch folks, I think they're, you know, Mitch Daniels, it's the Republicans really wanted him to come back. And it's because on his first State of the State address, you know, here's a guy standing up and with a divided legislature and saying, we're going to reform government. We're going to do all this stuff. We're going to do big things. We're going to do major moves. We're going to reform local government. And they managed to do a lot of it. And when you look at Mike Pence, you know, you get a lot of Indiana and Hoosiers are the greatest people. And, you know, what's his big accomplishment? A tax cut that got me $3.50 a year or whatever it was. Like, there really has not been an accomplishment or a vision over these last 4 years for Indiana. And I don't know who the Republicans will pick, but I can't imagine that the vision will be much greater. And when you talk about vision and political stability, John Gregg doesn't fit that bill. Here's a guy who can't make up his own mind about what he believes. And if the political winds shift, then he certainly will flip-flop and change his mind. Flopping Greg. And that's why there's only one principled candidate in the race, and that's Rex Belloc, rexbelloc.com.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Pence now, where he goes from here, because I think a lot of these, we talked about this, the never Trumper people that are now conveniently not never Trumper anymore.
They are big fans.
They were very mean to me during the primary.
Right.
Now, ironically, I'm seeing Trump Pence 2016.
Right.
Is it wrong because I want to get on social media and go, you don't get to do that?
No. But they do. That's politics. Like, we don't live in a political climate where consistency is rewarded, loyalty is rewarded. And so it doesn't matter what you said 3 weeks ago. I mean, you can't really complain about that being a Trump fan, though, Rob, because here's a guy who can't decide on what he believes. He's like, I'm gonna pick Mike Pence. He's the greatest ever. Maybe not. Okay, Mike Pence is I believed in him from the start. It's like, oh, whatever.
Don't you believe a lot of that was showmanship, though? I mean, he owned the news cycle for 5 days. He made it Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, yeah. He cynically used the media cycle and the Nice, France terrorist attack to get another day out of it.
You think he, but I mean, he made the announcement on Friday anyway.
Because he was forced to.
You think that he used the terrorist attack? You don't think that was genuine, that he was genuinely...
No.
No, you
because
don't.
I don't think Donald Trump has an ounce of empathy. I think he's a narcissistic sociopath. And so a person like that has zero ability to empathize with any other human being other than themselves.
Do you... does it bother you? Because we're friends. Does it bother you that I really like Trump? Because, you know, I'm a big Donald Trump fan.
No, it doesn't bother me.
I mean, because you hate Trump. Like, hate him. You have venom. I sat next to you at the Trump rally on the media platform. There was venom. Lasers shooting out of your
eyes.
No,
there wasn't lasers. No, like, to me, it's I have so many narcissistic sociopaths in my life. What's another? you know, like, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't make me, you know, like, when you've been in this business for 10 years and you've worked in politics for a long time, like, you lose the emotional attachment to it. And so when I see people emotionally attached to a political opinion or a candidate or... You know, they hate people because they're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. I just look at that person and I go, why is your life so sad? Like, well, let's find some balance. You know, just because you like Trump, it doesn't. I'm fascinated by it. I want to know what.
You know why I like Trump, though.
Because maybe you're a narcissistic sociopath. I don't know. And maybe I don't know. I don't understand it. And I don't understand why anybody. I was at a party last night and people were arguing for Trump versus Hillary, and I just said, gun to my head, I would vote Hillary over Donald Trump, even though...
A felon? You would vote for the felon over the tax-paying, law-abiding businessman?
If I had to choose between the two, yes, because she is the devil I know. I know the government will exist in the exact same state that it currently exists, and I'll hate every minute of it. If you go to isidewith.com and take that quiz... Now, I'm 93% of the time with Gary Johnson, so I will be supporting him vocally and proudly and voting for him.
You like the former Republican. You're a big fan of the rejected Republican.
I was 69% of the time with Donald Trump, and I was 22% of the time with Hillary Clinton. But the problem is when you watch that announcement of Trump Pence.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
He couldn't stay on Pence more than 5 seconds.
It was brilliant.
It was 22 minutes of why I'm the greatest. And oh, by the way, this guy with white hair is here. Like, he's just a narcissist and he is a dangerous person. And I think the first time he's in a room with somebody who offends his ego, that's bad for the country. You know, if you're a private businessman, you can mess up your company and go bankrupt several times. And, you know, screw many, many people over and have hundreds of lawsuits filed against you for being a corrupt businessman. And that's okay, but our collective good are not tied together like it will be if he were to be president. So I don't think either of them. I think they're both liars. They're both corrupt. They're both, you know, the problem. I just don't see how anybody can look at... I think he's going to grow the size of government. And so if you believe in shrinking government, if you believe in justice reform, you believe in drug legalization, you believe in scaling down wars, if you believe in cutting taxes and eliminating the IRS, then there's only one choice in the race, and it's Gary Johnson. It is not Donald Trump. Donald Trump hasn't had a consistent position this entire time.
Well, your buddy Lenz, who your cohort, mm-hmm. he's your partner in crime,
he's
over there.
He's my bro.
Libertarians. He loves Trump.
Listen, we all on the We Are Libertarians are trolls, internet trolls. And so I have an affinity for Trump because he is a great showman. It's always great television. And the memes around him are very dank. And, you know, Trump, and he drives liberals crazy. And that's why Greg likes him. And there's part of me that likes that too. But that doesn't mean that he should be the president of the United States. You know, it's
okay. Let me ask you this, because you mentioned the press conference yesterday. I watched that. It was interrupting my British Open time, so I was hoping they would hurry up.
That press conference was last week, Rob.
No, I'm talking the that's true. Yes, that's true. Yes. By the time this airs, it will have been last week. Right. Yes, that's correct. Sometimes we keep the veil that we're very timely here. Sometimes we don't. But the press conference airs. I'm watching the press conference. It's interrupting my British Open time, so it's the one time I was asking for Trump to please hurry up.
Right. You were interrupting the whispers.
Yes, that's right. But I was watching it thinking, this is brilliant. All these people are here to see this announcement. He's talking about himself, about how right he is. He's writing his own version of history.
Right.
This is great. And then, is it a moment for Mike Pence where it was an introduction to, you're not in charge anymore?
Oh yeah, like I think that like watching that, I wonder if it sank in for Pence, because watching that, you know, and he talks about himself, and then he just leaves him on stage by himself to speak. There's no, like, you know, Trump proudly standing behind his man, as you'd see when Hillary makes her announcement. Watch, they'll be on stage the whole time. She will talk about that person. She will stand next to them as they make their speech. You know, whereas Trump didn't do that. And Pence, I got the impression, and I almost feel sorry for him. Almost. I do not.
He had to know what he was getting into.
Of course. But his naked ambition means that, damn the consequences. When Donald Trump loses, Mike Pence will be the scapegoat. You mark my words. Because what will happen is Trump will say, well, it was the wrong decision. I should have gone with Newt. You know, like, that's what's going to happen. It will not be Trump, because that's what a narcissistic sociopath does. They can't take personal responsibility, so, which is another foundational problem. As a libertarian who believes in personal responsibility, I can't vote for somebody who has no personal responsibility whatsoever. Pence will be the scapegoat. And if you're a Republican that likes Pence, you should feel sorry for him.
So here's the deal, though. One, he has to know what he's getting into when you sign up with Donald Trump. It was like when I got asked to do the interview. They didn't ask me what I was going to ask him, but they knew you're not going to come in there and start grilling Donald Trump. Hi, right. I'm Rob Kendall from WYRZ.
Community radio.
Please nail that out.
Right.
They know what you're going to get. And this is why it shocked me that he took Pence, because he has no connection to Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
Pence endorses Ted Cruz. Trump is all about loyalty. And it just floors me that he picks a guy who he has so little in common with, doesn't see the world the way Trump sees it, and now you've got Pence out there flip-flopping on things. It's like Pence forgets Twitter exists. When you tweet right. out, whether you're for the Muslim ban or against it or whatever,
right?
Like, my Twitter would be fine, because I'm totally on board with Trump.
Are you angling to be his vice president?
When Pence
and you want to be the scapegoat?
I'd be a very famous, well-off scapegoat.
Yeah.
But it's like, now you're just on board with this after you said it was unconstitutional. You
right.
look so bad doing that.
But it's Mike Pence. Like, Mike Pence wants to be president. The whole undercurrent of the 2012 gubernatorial election, as we watch these press conferences at the end, you know, you're around the other two campaigns pretty heavily during debate season. And you watch the press conferences with Mike Pence, and it was Howie and everybody under the Nikki and everybody under the sun from all the local newspapers and TV stations asking, are you just running to be president? No, I'm here to make Indiana great again. You know, and lo and behold, Bill Smith, his chief of staff, quits barely 2 years in to start a consulting firm. And then all of a sudden you start hearing that, you know, Pence is scheduled to speak in Iowa, New Hampshire, and there's polling that, you know, essentially push polling in Iowa. You know, he was running for president in 2016 all along. He never cared about being governor. He clearly doesn't like the job. He's not good at the job. He was, you know, he's not a slam dunk to win. So now he takes this, and even if they lose, he can go manage Club for Growth. You know, he can get a good job with the Koch brothers. So I'm not surprised he took the job, because I don't think he ever cared about being governor. I think he cared about this as a stepping stone to be president. The problem is that the American people are not dumb. The American people understand when someone is not authentic, when somebody is ambitious for personal gain. And I think they've had Pence's number. The Hoosiers have had Pence's number the entire time, and I don't think they've ever had the connection to Mike Pence that they had with Mitch Daniels. And I don't think that American voters are going to have the connection with Mike Pence that people have with Trump. I think people have a genuine connection with Trump that support Trump. And
he's like dad. Our father.
Even in Indiana, Rob. Who are the enthusiastic Mike Pence supporters?
I'll tell you, going to that rally the other night, and this is why I was floored he took him after attending that rally, because Trump is such an observer of the world around him. There weren't many.
Yeah, it's Republican Party loyalist. I went to Michael Shea was at Morty's Comedy Joint, and he's the Weekend Update guy on SNL, and he started asking about Pence, and the whole crowd booed. And he goes, wow, that's a different reaction than I thought I was going to get. You know, he's like, what's up with these Fire Mike Pence signs? Can you think of in our lifetime as an astute, accomplished political observer like yourself? I cannot remember a time where the Fire Mike Pence signs that existed for another politician.
No, I mean it was fascinating, and Chris is going to stay with us for tomorrow's show too to continue to talk about the selection of Mike Pence and what it means for the state of Indiana. He up there on that stage, he looked so uncomfortable, and I just wonder, at the end of the day, is he going to look back in about 2 months and go, my gosh, what have I done?
He's been someone who has had such control over his own political future for so long, and he just handed the keys over to a complete maniac. Like, he would have been better off coming to Chris Spangle and saying, Chris, I know you're a libertarian and you are against almost everything I stand for. Would you manage my campaign? Sure, Mike. Like, that would be a smarter decision than handing it over to Trump. Like, he's so screwed.
Well, and here's the other problem that he's got, too, and I think it's why I'm shocked he picked Pence, is Trump demands unwavering loyalty.
Yeah.
Gingrich, for whatever you think about him, is... It would have been that.
He's a whore.
Well, I mean, he would.
Can I say that on community radio?
Yeah, I think you can say that. We'll leave it in. We'll ask the executives later. But he would have.
He won't do it for free.
Yeah,
but
I mean, he would have. I mean, he's on there talking about what a great pirate Donald Trump would be and everything. I mean, that pick just to me made sense. And Mike Pence, it just seems to me like just not a world. I mean, ambition wise, maybe, but. Wouldn't you have been better off if you really... He must think Trump's going to win, because otherwise he would have been better off just camping out in Indiana for four more years.
Oh, I don't agree. I think that... I think that he... It wasn't until this year that I finally started to see some fire in Mike Pence. You know, that there are politicians that are fighters, and there are politicians that don't fight back. And you always, as a... You know, Newt Gingrich is a fighter. Trump is a fighter. You attack Trump, you attack Gingrich, you're going to get it back.
That's why I like him.
Yeah. You in Mike Pence, you get somebody who gets stuck like a bull and, okay, well, that's fine. You know, and I think as a lot of Republicans, there's a lot of distrust of Mike Pence's ability to fight off things like RFRA. I think because he... You know, like that article said, he learned his lessons in his early days of running for Congress and negative campaigning. I think he has an attitude of, well, the truth will just come out, and what's right is right, and I'm just going to let God be God. And there's no place for religion in politics. Like, it doesn't exist. And that's why I say he's a genuinely decent person. I think he doesn't have a stomach for that. That's why they picked Eric Holcomb. Holcomb is a guy who will, you know, after he spears you three or four times, he'll shoot you in the face.
But he does it with a smile.
And he's likable.
Yeah.
You know? So he you know, he was a guy that, you know, Mitch wasn't the bad guy, but and then there's Holcomb in the background with blood all over his face. Sparta. You know, so I think Pence doesn't have that killer instinct, and that's probably what Trump thought he needed was somebody who can stay on message without fail. And, you know, Gingrich is going to say a couple things that are going to be questionable. He already has in the last week. And Mike Pence is a robot. He is like, he is such a message machine. You give him the message, he will faithfully deliver it. He's one of the most disciplined politicians I've ever seen.
All right, we're going to leave it there for today. Chris will join us again tomorrow. We'll continue the conversation about Mike Pence, plus this governor's race, what happens now. We're spending the whole week talking about the new shape of politics in the state of Indiana. Don't forget, if you missed any part of today's conversation, you can check out the podcast by logging on to our website at wirz.org. Click the shows tab at the top of the page. Find Central Indiana Today. Go back and listen anytime you want. Until next time, I'm Rob Kendall saying have yourself a great evening.
The foundation of what we do is conversation. Join in on our social media. Find all of the links at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome into another edition of Central Indiana Today here on 98.9 WYRZ. I'm Rob Kendall. Thanks for joining us, back with us for day number two, to discuss the ever-shifting political landscape in Indiana. Chris Spangle, the We Are Libertarians radio network. Chris.
Hello, dear boy.
Good to be back with you. Yesterday, we talked a lot about Mike Pence, obviously his big announcement. We'll continue to talk a little bit about Mike Pence today. But it's what Mike Pence sets in motion, which is the Republicans have to now pick somebody to run for governor. And I know you and I share the same view that this is just more proof when more than 800,000 votes for governor in the primary no longer matter, that taxpayers should not be a part of the primary process.
How many people are selecting the candidate?
22.
Okay, yeah. As if it was ever not that way. Like, here's what you have to understand about politics. Yeah, the primary doesn't matter, but how do you think people are picked to run in the primary? Like, look at Todd Young. Todd Young was always going to be the nominee because the money picked Todd Young, and Marlon Stutzman never had a chance. Sorry, Rob.
That's okay. I got paid. That's all that matters, as I've said many times.
You're the Newt Gingrich.
I needed to pay a few bills. They allowed me to do my radio, and my favorite Marlon Stutzman story is I had a feeling we were going to lose like a month out, so I started doing a lot more radio stuff.
Right.
And those guys were cool. They let me just go on my way. Like, I worked for them, but they still let me do radio. But the day before the primary, when I got to interview Trump and like disappeared for 5 hours and nobody was like, where's Rob?
Where's Rob?
Yeah. I had a feeling it was going.
One of your Donut County coordinators just isn't on the grid at all.
Yeah. I finally like showed up at headquarters and said, hey, I got to interview Trump. It was like, oh, that's great. Good job. I had a feeling it was this. But anyway, yeah, you're right. And now ironically I guess let's go ahead and just talk about it now. Young really needs the Stutzman people.
Really, really does. Yeah, but I don't think people are going to there may be one crazy Tea Party up north woman up north that's, you know, not going to vote for Todd Young out of principle, but I think when it's Evan Bayh, people will come out and like, because he's a known quantity.
Right.
The problem for Todd Young is name ID. It's nobody knows who he is.
He was a Marine.
And he's going to ride this Marine thing to the point of laughter. And he's going to make himself into a caricature, and I think that could cause a lot of people to look at Lucy Brenton, the United States Senate candidate for the Libertarians. And he's got a war chest that is just, it's 8 million short of what Bayh has. The day after Bayh announced, I went to Reason.com, which is a libertarian magazine, and I saw an Evan Bayh ad, a TV ad that was a pre-roll. So I had to watch Evan Bayh for 15 seconds before I could go read my libertarian, you know, anti or pro-drug article or whatever they were posting.
So Young is in a big problem now, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but it was interesting. The Young people, once the Bayh announcement happened, were all upset that this could take place in the primary. And I thought to myself, well, that's very interesting for somebody who a lot of people feel shouldn't have been on the ballot to begin with, yeah. Saved by the two-party system.
No, the United States Senate race is a complete joke. It is it's disgusting. It really is. It's, not only did the election board lay down and just let big Republican money walk all over it, and, you know, if a Libertarian Party or a Green Party person or whatever, a Constitution Party, if they exist, if that were the case for them, the rules would be totally different. And, you know, Young gets on the ballot no matter what, because, I know it's the spirit of the law, you know, so Republicans really, when they talk about strict
constructionalists,
you know, yeah, like you're full of crap, you know, the rules only apply to other people. They don't apply to you. And then you look at the Democrats. This is just one of the most disgusting displays I've ever seen in my life. I mean, here's a guy who just decided in 2010 that he had had enough, and it was his right. He screwed the Democrats over because they went from likely to, you know, Dan Coats winning.
Who also doesn't live in Indiana.
Who also doesn't live in Indiana, yeah. I mean, and so... You know, Evan Bayh just decided that he didn't want to be senator anymore and left, but he did it in an appropriate way. So there was a primary, and Brad Ellsworth got picked. He did it in, you know, the year before or whatever it was, or early January or whatever. It was a surprise, but it was still, you know, he got a lot of flack for it from Democrats, but I got it. I mean, if you don't like being a senator, if you don't like the grid, you know, he said it was gridlock, but basically behind the scenes, he just told everybody, I hated being a senator. I hate being in the chamber. I'm an executive-minded person, and I want to go make spend some time with my kids and make money. And he did. He became a lobbyist, and he went on Fox News.
Made a lot of money.
And, you know, he posted on his Facebook recently that he brought one of his sons to the chamber and showed him all around Indiana. So here's a kid who is going to college or is in college age, who is the son of the likely the next senator from Indiana, who has to be taken on a tour of Indiana to see his quote-unquote roots, because he has no concept of where the family farm was or the chamber in the state house or Hoosier culture. Probably had his first tenderloin. Evan Bayh doesn't live in Indiana. Evan Bayh lives in Alexandria. You know, there's a big story about how he was leaving Indiana and moving to Washington, D.C. in the Washington Post. He isn't a Hoosier. He doesn't live here. And, you know, to just decide that he gets to come back and for the state Democratic Party to just say to its primary voters, go F yourself, we're in charge, is not surprising to me, but it should be enraging to Democrats. Just like Todd Young's false placement on the ballot should be enraging to Republicans. And to independents, it's not surprising because we have figured out what the two-party system actually is. It's a big club and you're not in it.
And it's really interesting, too, because it shows how little the people pay attention, or maybe they pay attention and just don't care. Or maybe I'm just so shocked that people like don't demand better government.
70% of the people are going to walk in the ballot box and go, oh, Evan Bayh's on the ballot. Oh, weird. You know, like they aren't going to know. Like it's, we can sit here and complain about it. And the people who are listening are ticked off, but the majority of the people who go in to vote aren't going to know Evan Bayh from Barron Hill. And they might know Evan Bayh, but they're like, oh, I didn't know he was running. I didn't even know the Senate race was up.
Again, our guest is Chris Spangle from the We Are Libertarians radio network. All right, so let's go to the governor's race now. For the Republicans now, 22 people get to decide who my choice as a Republican will be to run for governor. We're down to three, I assume.
Yeah,
Todd Rokita. It'll be Saturday, so 2 days from now, they'll make the choice for me.
Okay.
Todd Rokita, Susan Brooks, Eric Holcomb. Scott Strong and I talked a little bit about this earlier in the week. Eric Holcomb goes from being a guy who would have finished third in a three-way primary.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out of the primary. Somehow, despite having never held an elected office in his life, he is appointed lieutenant governor.
Right.
And now is probably the favorite to be the governor of Indiana.
So I think people listening may not know Eric Holcomb's full history and why that is. I mean, he is former chief of staff for Mitch Daniels, former chief of staff for Dan Coats in the Senate, former executive director of the state Republican Party, and I was executive director of a state political party, the Libertarians, and you get to know every inch of your political party when you were executive director, and your job as executive director is to build relationships for multiple reasons, be it fundraising, activism, county coordination, candidate recruitment, and so you work closely with people from across the state. When you are the chief of staff of a Senate, United States Senate, or a governor's office, you are in charge of getting to know all of the power centers of the state and building relationships with those people for your boss so you can then execute their agenda. So I'm not surprised that Eric Holcomb is the favorite because of those reasons. His job was to build relationships, and politics is the people business. Yeah, I think Holcomb is, it seems like an odd choice if you're from outside of politics. I will say Holcomb would regularly reach out to the executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana and the state chair, myself and Sam Goldstein, regularly to ask, you know, our opinions on issues. And that certainly has not happened under Mike Pence, and it did not happen under O'Bannon or Kernan. Or by. So I always appreciated that Holcomb did that with us. That being said, I don't know how his effectiveness as a candidate will be. It will be interesting. I think he will run from behind because he is behind, because Greg, I think in 2012, had like 50% name ID. And I think Holcomb will come in with 10%, 20% name ID. Probably on par with Rex Bell, the Libertarian candidate for governor, which I don't mean that as a slam against Rex. I mean, Rex has written for every local newspaper in the state of Indiana for 10 years, at least. He has had a published column in dozens and dozens of local newspapers. Rex is currently distributing his column to 200 different outlets, across the state. So while Republicans may know Eric Holcomb well, I don't think the public will. And it will be interesting to see his effectiveness as a candidate. Now, obviously, he's run campaigns, so he probably knows how to do it. But yeah, he's not won elective office. Susan Brooks is married to a guy named David Brooks, not the New York Times columnist. David is or was the Center Township precinct, the ward chairman of Center Township in Marion County. He is one. He's a lawyer. He is essentially, when you get into trouble, and like Scott Keller in 2004 won by 3 votes for his city council race, Brooks was in there making sure that he won.
It was. When, he was also Todd Young's attorney, wasn't he?
He was Todd Young's attorney. He was. He is. When John Elrod won his race by 14 votes for, I think it was Center Township trustee. Or no, State House. David Brooks was the guy in there fighting. He is essentially the Republican Roger Stone of local politics, and so, you know, he is equally as well connected in the central Indiana area as Eric Holcomb would be, but maybe not the state. And Susan Brooks obviously has spent a lot of time. She was considered a choice for vice president a couple years ago, somebody to watch in Congress. So I'm confused why she would withdraw to run for governor if she was on a fast track to be a leader in the House. So I think that just clearly shows her political ambition.
Okay, the one that really surprises me, though, is Rakita. And we like Rakita. He's on the show quite a bit. Good guy. He's our rep out
here. He's a friend of mine. I know Todd very well. He was when he was Secretary of State, we worked together on many projects.
I'm surprised he's getting in, because it would seem amongst that group of people deciding that they would have, at least like 18 of those votes sewed up between the two of them.
So let me tell you a little story about Todd Rakita. And I don't know that Todd would validate this or if this is even true, but this is my guess. Okay. When Todd Rakita was Secretary of State before, I think it was 2009, and people were starting to think about redistricting, he partnered as Secretary of State with the Brennan Center to talk about making districts fair, and he called it rethinking redistricting. And he put out ungerrymandered maps. This is what things should look like when the legislature draws the maps next year. And what he did is he pissed off every single legislator and general assembly member in the state, because principle has no place in politics whatsoever. And they went to their home counties and their home parties and ripped him up and down. And so, you know, I think Todd has always had, I don't know that they've ever forgotten that. And so, it just goes to show you that if you stand for principle in politics, it really hurts your career. So, I don't know. I think he is definitely the underdog of the three based on, but he's been around for a long time. He's been Secretary of State twice. He was a popular Secretary of State. He's been a congressman, but I don't know how well known he is in places like the 3rd or the 8th or the 1st district, you know. So his statewide, well, 1st district is where he's from, but you know, around the state, he may not be as well known or as well liked.
Well, and you make a good point, though. The region up there, he may have a shot at cracking some of those, couple of those votes. So we'll see what happens. Here's what I have a problem with, and I'm sure, well, we'll see. Yeah. Sometimes I think I know how you're going to respond, and you don't respond that way.
Because Republicans think libertarians are just them, only they like drugs.
Right, absolutely.
It's not true.
Do you have a problem with the fact that these guys can resign their spot on the ballot, run for office? If they don't win, then they can go back and run for that same office in a caucus. I don't like the office hopping.
I don't either, because it's a cute loophole around the sore loser law. And the sore loser law states that if you basically, if you lose in a primary, you can't be appointed in that election cycle for that same race. And you can for other races, but not that same race. So to me, it is a runaround against the legislature has decided that if you lose in a primary, then you can't be a sore loser and get appointed in that race. So I feel like if you resign your position, let's say Holcomb gets it, okay? Let's say Holcomb is the choice because by all accounts from the media, he's the front runner.
Right.
Susan Brooks and Todd Rokita have resigned their spot. There's an open vacancy. If there were an open vacancy in the Libertarian Party of Indiana, what we have and would do is say there's an open vacancy for this race. Please submit your forms. You know, if you would like to be considered, you know, tell us why you're the best option, and the Central Committee would convene and then vote on that option. That happened with Pepper Snyder in the 3rd District. She was selective out of 5 or 6 different people who were running. It was a vacancy, and she was appointed by the state chair after the Central Committee discussed
it. You picked Gary Snyder's wife. It's very risky.
Well, Gary's not risky. All right, Gary's risky. Pepper is not. Gary's very, very risky. So I don't know that I have a problem with it because the law says that there is a vacancy, but the Central Committee should convene and allow other people to submit their, you know, and the Central Committee should then decide from those folks.
Well, in a sense, there will, because it's a caucus. I mean, but it's like, who's going to, let's say, and again, I said this earlier in the week, I'm not blaming Rokita. He's just playing by the rules is the way they're
absolutely
written.
Absolutely.
But I have a problem with the fact that he cannot run for an office and then run for this office, and there's no risk to doing that, because then who's going to beat Rokita in a caucus?
Right.
Nobody.
Somebody should have the option I feel.
You do. I mean, you can put your name in, and you'll get zero votes.
Rob,
and,
I'm just saying.
You know how many people have said, Rob, you should run for Congress? I said, no, I'm happy here with Spangle.
Why would you want to run for Congress? Why would you want to run for office? You don't have to work for a living. You get to sit behind a microphone and be the FM voice of Hendricks County.
I can do this. Why would I want that sweet $180K a year gig with the sweet Bennies, man? Living on the Potomac, you know?
Yeah, just stay here with me on community radio. It's a podcast.
You know, like Harry Chapin once said in the song WOLD, you know, that's the place to be.
So, yeah, I'm surprised that Pence isn't going to resign.
Well, and I wanted to close with that because we got just a couple minutes left. He has said he is going to continue to be the governor of the state of Indiana. We all know he's going to do zero governing.
Right.
He's campaigning full-time, which is fine. That's his right to do that. But he's going to continue to make six-figure salary plus benefits to go around the world and campaign, or the country and campaign. I have an issue with that.
I do too. I think that as a voter, as a taxpayer, and as a human being living in Indiana, I think that he should resign and he should focus on what he's doing. Now, the political side of me says it doesn't make sense because give Holcomb that boost up. You know, if he gets picked, then let him be governor for that brief time and have the power of the incumbency. But I could also see how you don't want to logistically, when you change administrations, there's a lot that goes into that behind the scenes. That they might not want to mess with. You know, you got to change all the photos and the BMVs. That's very difficult to do for 6 months. So on some of those things, I see both sides of it. I see, you know, all right, yeah, I don't want to change horses in midstreams. But it's not like if Holcomb were governor, he's going to be distracted with his race for governor. And that's going to be his priority more than governing. So it's, and if Pence were governor, he was always going to be campaigning for governor. And this is, yeah, he won't be in state, but he was always going to be running a campaign. So it doesn't matter. We're not going to get good government either way.
Well, and I guess to me, it's like, look, you want to be the governor. That's great. God bless you. I said he should run again for governor. He is elected not to do that. I mean, it's just you're not going to be governing. The legislature is not even in session. All you're going to do is glorified photo ops at this point.
Are you going to be the one to tell Mr. Trump, no, I can't do that because I've got to go back to the state? And, you know, that's going to be the funny part, is when he has to have some official business and it conflicts with whatever Donald Trump wants. And then we'll see the narcissistic sociopath rear its ugly head in front of Mike Pence. I have friends in the Pence administration, and I cannot wait to hear all about this.
Well, and here, I wanted to ask you this real quick, too. These people in the Pence administration that think they're hopping the first plane to Trump Tower to be a part of Pence-Trump or Trump-Pence 2016, they're living in fantasy land, aren't they?
We don't know that. I don't know. I'm interested to see. I'm totally fascinated by all of this. I love crazy people. I love insane people. And so when I see, maybe Mike Pence is a codependent. That might be it. I think I just stumbled on the answer. So I'm a codependent, so therefore I love narcissistic or borderline people because, you know, past issues. Maybe Pence is just super codependent and he wants to, like, save, he's a white knight for Donald Trump.
It will be very fascinating. Chris, thank you for taking a couple days to tell us a little bit about how the other folks outside of the Republican and Democrat Party might view this crazy election season.
We don't like it. Vote for libertarians.
Very well said.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.